Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema Full Year 2021 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star then zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good afternoon to all call participants. As usual, I'm here with Carlo and Ilaria. I'm referring as usual to the presentation that has been made available, and in particular in the page two of the presentation. Let me start by saying that I'm very pleased with the result that I'm going to describe, in particular, due to the last quarter of last year, which has been one of the best quarter ever that we have observed as a bank. Let's start with the commercial performance. The factoring turnover was up 16% on a year-on-year basis, while the overall market in Italy on factoring, based on the information provided by the Association of Factoring Companies, was a 10% increase on a year-on-year. In the last quarter, we have originated more than 1.1 billion of turnover, even if we consider that the tax receivable segment was below the performance that we were expected. The CQ business reached an outstanding, which is up on a year-on-year basis if we exclude the sale of part of the portfolio that happened on the last quarter of last year. The pawnbroking business have reached 90 million in terms of outstanding, which is an increase of 16% on a year-on-year basis, which represent a constant growth on a quarter-on-quarter basis. We have continued to originate SME state guarantee loans that we provide only to our factoring client after the good performance of 2020, and the stock have reached at the end of last year under 60 million. In terms of key data from the P&L, the net interest income is equal to 82 million, which is up 10% on a year-on-year basis. The cost of funding has been reduced to 0.4%. The total income is equal to 108 million, which is up 6%. The total operating cost is equal to 62.9 million. The net income equal to 23.3 million, which correspond to a good return on tangible equity equal to 13.1%. The core Tier 1 ratio is at 11.6%, and the total capital ratio is at 14.6%, with the lower impact than expected from the higher past due versus what we said at the end of October when we approved the first nine months result. The core Tier 1 ratio, of course, already take into account the 25% deduction from profit, which is connected to the dividend that we expect to distribute. Moving to the next slide. As you can see, the factoring outstanding is up on a quarter-on-quarter basis, thanks to the strong performance that we have on the last quarter of the year. The turnover growth was also driven by the diversification in other segment, such as Spain, for instance. While on other hand, we as a bank, we have been very prudent on the Ecobonus activity, and we have only a very small portfolio of 17.7 million, and we do not expect to have huge portfolio of Ecobonus even in the future. The acceleration in payment by the public administration is expected to remain to stabilize in the first part of next year. In this year, thanks to the agreement with European Investment Funds, we will be able to reduce the capital absorption from factoring to private client. Moving to the last to the slide number 4, as you can see, the CQ turnover was stable on a year-on-year basis. Already have made comment about the fact that we have sold portfolio. We have registered a good performance on year-on-year in the direct component, which now represent 29% of the total, with the turnover that has been double if we compare to the previous year. The effect of the so-called prepayment, which is typical for this type of product, in the last quarter, although relevant in terms of outstanding, but was lower than in the previous quarter in terms of impact to the P&L. The CQ division is working, is continuing to work on straightening the network of agent or intermediary, selectively look at indirect portfolio to purchase. As you may have read, we are waiting for the authorization from Bank of Italy to purchase a portfolio from Banco BPM of under 50 million. Moving to the pronto pegno, so the pawnbroking business, we have continued our organic growth, where we have registered 16% growth on a year-on-year basis. And as I said, this has been constant on every quarter, as well as the focus has been moved more and more to technology, up to the point that, for instance, auction at the end of last year have reached more than 80% being done online. Now, I will leave the floor to Ilaria for more details on the P&L and balance sheet.
Thanks, Gianluca, and good afternoon to everybody. I will start as usual with comments on the balance sheet. So if we look on slide 5, we can see that total assets are basically flat versus year-end 2020, and in particular, loans at amortized costs are now 2.8 billion, showing a quarter-on-quarter growth, mainly thanks to the increase in factoring assets in Q4. As Gianluca just commented, CQ loans are stable year-on-year despite the sale of two portfolios of credits for a total amount of 70 million, and pawn loans are up quarter-on-quarter thanks to a strong organic growth. Govies portfolio is equal to 630 million and is stable quarter-on-quarter, although down year-on-year, and the average duration is still 31 months. On the liability side, due to banks' year-on-year decrease is driven mainly by ECB funding, which is stable quarter-on-quarter. Due to customer increase year-on-year and also quarter-on-quarter is driven by the increase in term deposits and current accounts with the new contracts that carry a lower cost. As commented already in the last call, year-on-year decrease in funding through debt securities is mainly driven by the maturity of a private placement in May, the repayment of Tier 2 bond that was executed simultaneously to the issuance of an AT1 for the same amount, and also to the reclassification of 8 million AT1 as equity instrument. Quarter-on-quarter increase in this cluster is driven by higher funding through ABS. Let me remind you that shareholders' equity have included since Q2 2021 all the 81 bonds. We now move on to the next page to discuss P&L. Full year interest income is stable versus 2020, with a higher income from pawn loans and the semi-loans, which had a higher contribution of 2.9 million and 3.7 million respectively. The higher contribution from pawn and SME loans compensated the full, the lower full-year contribution from factoring, which has registered 3 weak quarters and a very strong fourth quarter. With 60.3 million, a factory now represents 61% of total income compared to the 66% at the end of 2020. Within the factoring, there has been a good diversification effect among the different subsegments. Indeed, while the commercial and fiscal receivables have shown some weakness, LPI have registered a good performance both in the legal action space as well as in the extrajudicial space, which has registered a tremendous contribution. Focusing as usual on the performance of factoring LPI from legal action, we have an overall contribution of legal LPI of 21.5 million, which is stable with respect to the 21.6 million in 2020. Of that, the accrual accounts for 11.4 million and extra collections for 10.1 million. There hasn't been any sale of LPI in the last quarter, therefore the contribution of the sale of LPI confirms to be much lower than in 2020. We have 700K in 2021 compared to 3.1 million last year. As already indicated in our previous call, the impact of the update of the model this year has not been relevant, as the positive component related to the update of the accrual rates have been completely offset by the increase in the expected collection times, which is the time value. Nevertheless, the performance of the accrual component has been strong. The combined effect of the different performance among the various factoring segments is such that factoring adjusted income margin is down year on year. If we move to the CQ space, we see that interest income growth has been negatively impacted by the prepayment effect, as Gianluca mentioned, which caused the net income contribution to be basically flat year on year. However, flattish interest income has been compensated by the gain originated from the sale of the two loan portfolios mentioned before, which were performed in the last quarter. And therefore, while CQ income margin is stable on a year-on-year basis, it has registered a significant increase on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Pawn loans contribution has continued the positive trend registered over the past quarters, and with a very strong fourth quarter, the full year income contribution has been double what we had in 2020. The margin of the pawn loan business has been confirmed above 15%. So overall, total adjusted income margin was slightly lower year on year, moving from 4.5% down to 4.4%. We now look at total income before cost. Total income on slide 7. Full year total income is up 6% year on year, mainly driven by the increase in net interest income and other income. A significant saving in interest expenses positively contributed to the growth in net interest income. Net commissions is down year on year due to lower factoring commissions, only partially compensated by higher commissions from pawn loans. Other income includes 1.9 million gain from the multiple sales of factoring portfolios of loans versus private debtors and 3.7 million gain from the sale of the two CQ portfolios. The Gavis portfolio has registered a lower contribution with respect to last year, 6.4 million compared to the 10.1 million in 2020. Of the 6.4 million, 1.9 million refers to NII and 4.6 million refers to other income. In the pie chart below, we show the breakdown of total income contribution of the three businesses. The diversification trend has continued over the quarters as the weight of the factoring business relative to the others is decreasing. The factoring still continues to be the biggest contributor to the revenues, but its relative weight has decreased to 68%. The pawn loan is stable around 11%, and the CQ has increased to 21%. We now move on to cost on the next page. Total operating costs are up on a year-on-year basis, but on a consolidating path. In particular, personnel expenses are up year-on-year, mainly due to the consolidation of the pawn loan business unit since Q3 2020. All other expenses increase year-on-year is mainly due to an increase in servicing costs, to initiatives to further develop the business, and to investments for the IT infrastructure renewal. The contribution to the Single Resolution Fund was also higher for the year. We now move on to funding on the next slide, slide 9. I'll be very brief in this section as there isn't much more to add with respect to what we have commented in the past quarters. Cost of funding is significantly lower year on year, moving from 0.6% to 0.4%. The split retail wholesale funding reflects the events occurred in Q3 when we've registered a significant relative increase in retail funding compared to wholesale, mainly driven by the increase in term deposits and the decrease in ECB funding. Retail funding is confirmed at 68% of total. The increase in retail funding continued also in Q4 at a lower cost. The wholesale component also slightly increased quarter on quarter in absolute amount, although it was stable in percentage terms. And the increase in absolute terms was due to higher ABS funding and to higher repos. ECB funding is stable. However, in Q4, we have extended the TLTRO3 maturity to December 2024 with a positive impact on the NSFR. We now turn to slide 10 to discuss asset quality. The current level and composition of gross NPE is still the result of the dynamics occurred in Q1 and Q2. I'm referring to the fact that we have had an increase in past due in Q1 driven by the introduction of the new definition of defaults, while in Q2 the exposures versus municipalities in conservatorship have been all reclassified as bad loans from UTPs. In the last quarter, we've had an increase in gross NPE, mainly due to a past due increase. If you remember, in our previous call, we mentioned that we were still assessing the impact of the interpretation of the regulations on the new DOD according to the guidelines received by the Bank of Italy the day before the earnings release. The consequent increase in past due has now been confirmed in just less than 20 million compared to the estimated 60 million at the time. Consequently, the amount of past due is now 109 million in absolute amount. Gross NPE ratio increases, therefore, to 11.2% compared to the 9.5% at the end of 2020 and compared to the 10.9% in Q3. As for the previous quarters, the amount of loan loss provisions, which are now equal to 10.6 million, has been driven mainly by the dynamics occurred in the first two quarters. Compared to last year, loan loss provisions are slightly down, as in line with what we had envisaged, excluding the non-recurrent provisions related to exposures versus cities in conservatorships, the ordinary loan loss provisions were lower than historical average. So 2021 cost of risk stands at 40 bps compared to 42 bps in 2020. I now hand the floor back to Gianluca.
Thank you, Ilaria. So let me comment on the regulatory capital. The regulatory capital in terms of core tier 1 ratio, total capital ratio at the end of the year is slightly down on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And this is due to various factors. We have 2.4 million of reserve driven by the mark-to-market of the government bond portfolio in the held to collect and sale. And then we have another 1.9 million of prudential filter coming from the calendar provisioning. One of the other drivers of the reduction of the regulatory capital is due to the RWA increase driven by factoring business and in particular by the exposure to corporate and to less extent to the past due, because as you can see, as also Ilaria has mentioned when she commented the previous slide, our past due has reached almost 110 million, and we are now full compliant with the different probably from other players. We are full compliant with the Bank of Italy interpretation on the new definition of default. Now, I don't think that there is anything much to comment more, so I will leave the floor for any Q&A.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. The first question is on the new definition of default. I heard about a constitutional court ruling on this matter. Are you aware about this ruling, and do you expect any additional impact going forward, or the full year results should have shown the full impact in terms of capital risk-weighted assets. The second question is on CQ. We saw some disposal in the fourth quarter. Should we expect as a recurring business this kind of disposals also for the next year? And if you could give us a guidance in terms of net interest income and commission for the next year, or I mean, if you have any other kind of guidance, it could be very useful. I would say mainly these are the question I had. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. I think that what you're referring to the Constitutional Court has nothing to do with the new definition of default, but is connected to the CQ business and the Lexitor situation. Because which Lexitor is this decision being taken in the case of Poland, where all the upfront cost connected to the CQ business, based on this, on what the European court state, has to be pro rata and rebated back to the client. So this is what, that was the rule of this famous Lexitor sentence. This implies that all company that did the CQ business have to go back on the last 10 years and eventually run the risk of rebating back this amount of money to the people that have prepaid their loan. In summer last year, the government in Italy, like in Germany, that have done the same, they have changed the Italian Consolidated Bank Act in order to take into account this European decision at the level of European Court. And the Court of Justice of Turin, more afterward, have put a question to the Italian Constitutional Court if this change is a change that is correct or not. So this is the probably the constitution. Then there is another point of Constitutional Court that maybe is what you're referring to, is relating to the healthcare security, healthcare, where which is not news, like already happened in the past, the has been declared that the suspension of the possibility to look after the healthcare system has been considered unconstitutional. But we have taken that into consideration already in our number. So these are the two cases of Constitutional Court that I'm aware of.
The second one.
Okay. So the second one has an impact to the definition of default, because clearly there was a suspension relating to the this law. This law has been considered unconstitutional. So the suspension of the past due to the healthcare system has been released, but this is already included in our number. So there's no any other things on that respect. In terms of CQ disposal, as mentioned also in our business plan, we will continue to make disposal mainly towards year end, because we are making important investment in the network, in enlarging the network of the CQ, and we are financing this investment by making some disposal of CQ portfolio. So this year we did almost 10 million of disposal, and in a very opportunistic way we do continue to do the same also in the following years. I don't know if maybe Ilario, you would like to add something.
No, I don't have much to add. Your feedback was absolutely complete. Maybe just a slight addition to the previous question regarding the new definition of default. As Gianluca mentioned, the impact related to the Corte Costituzionale sentence was and is already included in the actual impact related to the new definition of default. As a summary, the increase over the year, the increase in past due related to the introduction of the new DoD is worth for us 60 million more of past due. As you can see, the amount from past due increased from 50 million at the end of last year to almost 110 million at the end, last year meaning 2020, to 110 million at the end of 2021. With a slight decrease by 20 million in the middle of 2021, which was now then offset by the new impact following the guidelines in the reception of the guidance in Q4. And we expect this to be the maximum, as Gianluca mentioned, amount in relation to the new definition of default.
Just a clarification on LPI. You didn't sell any LPI in the fourth quarter, and take into account the positive trend seen in this quarter and your initial comments. Are you confident net interest income next year to go up year on year? So if you can give some color on that, I don't know if you can. Thank you.
Ilaria?
Yes, sure. Yes, we have a positive view on the trend in net interest income for 2022. We believe this will be driven not by an increase in margins, but an increase in volume generated. So overall, we believe that the margins among the net margins, the consolidated margins among the three business lines will be stable in 2022 vis-à-vis 2021, with a potential relative difference within the single business lines. For example, we have a particularly positive outlook for CQ margins and probably a little bit more bearish outlook for factoring margins. But overall, on a consolidated basis, margins are expected to remain stable. We have a positive view on the new volume generation. So overall, as a consequence of that, we believe there is going to be a positive impact on net interest income for 2022. On the other side, cost, as we mentioned during the presentation, are expected to consolidate around the current levels, with potentially some increase due to non-recurring one-off projects or investments. So as a result of that, in terms of net income, the outlook should be of an increase with respect to what we have seen at the end of 2021.
Thank you.
The next question is from Manuela Meroni of Intesa San Paolo. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. The first question is just a clarification on an answer you gave before. So we can expect no further impact from the new definition of default in 2022 and going forward. The second question is on the calendar provisioning. I saw that you had a 1.9 million negative impact from the calendar provisioning in 2021. I'm wondering what you are expecting for 2022 and for the following years. Third question is your outlook on the factoring business with the public administration. It's clear that the accelerated payments are going to remain at least for the first part of 2022. So I'm wondering when you expect the situation to change and to come back to the pre-COVID level. Then another question on the sensitivity. Can you please share with us your sensitivity of net interest income to an increase in interest rates and your sensitivity of the Common Equity Tier 1 to an increase in the BTP bond spread?
Okay, maybe on the first one very quickly, I think that, as I said before, I think that at this stage, even though we don't necessarily share all the view of the regulator on the interpretation of the new definition of default, we had comply different probably from other player to the request of the regulator. We hope that there will be a level playing field where all the players will do the same. So do not expect to have a further increase on the past due with the application of the new definition of default. I will take maybe the third question on the outlook, and I will leave then to Ilaria to answer to the provisioning and to the sensitivity. The third question was relating to the outlook of payment. Clearly, the public administration have received extraordinary funds from the central government. As you have seen also in these days, they are keep asking the government due to the increase of the cost of electricity, in particular, to have extra money because they are not able to comply with the payments. So this is something that already signed the point where the local authority probably will turn the other way around, and if they don't have enough liquidity, they may slow down the payment. Is it also fair to say that after the new stance that the European central banks finally took, because it looks like that the only central banks with the view of zero inflation was the European one, while all the other central banks already have foreseen increase of interest rate due to the impact of inflation. Also, the ECB now is changing their view, and now we may expect to see an increase of interest rate also in the euro area. With interest rate increasing, country like Italy will have a huge debt, they will be under further pressure on the debt, something that in the last 2 years seems to be forgiven. So the stability pact and the debt has been forgiven, but now the point of the debt will become on the table and back to the discussion. So we will have in this case an impact where government will pay more attention probably on the further increase of the debt, which in other words means that this extra liquidity that has been provided by central government to local authority will not continue. The other impact with interest rate increase, and then I will leave then to Ilaria the comment on the government bond portfolio, but I remember that Banca Sistema had three stages. On the first stage, when we born, the reason why corporate were keen to sell receivable was because of the Italian risk. Then in the second period, the reason why company were selling receivable was to improve their net financial position. When interest rate end up to be close to zero, corporate with huge debt didn't see the need of improving their net financial position because the cost of their debt was zero, in some cases even negative. If interest rate will go up, a more attitude to sell receivable from large corporate will come back as this corporate with large debt will use the sale of receivable as a way to improve their net financial position. So we do expect, I do expect that this new macro environment with interest rate that will go up will allow us to even increase more the turnover on receivable coming not only from small cap or medium-sized cap, but also from large corporate that need to improve their net financial position. Now we'll leave to Ilaria to answer to the provisioning and to the sensitivity of the government bond portfolio.
Yes, sure. Thanks, Gianluca. Regarding the calendar, as we have indicated, we had an impact slightly less than 2 million for 2021 due to the calendar. We might expect the impact for the calendar to be a bit higher for 2022, but at the same time we are working on initiatives that might allow us to reduce the impact due potentially to asset disposal. So we are working towards managing the impact of the calendar for 2022 and onwards before it takes full effect. Regarding the other question on the sensitivity of the Govies portfolio to interest rate and therefore the sensitivity of the quarter one capital to interest rate movements, I have to say that the duration of our bond portfolio is 31 months, so it's 2.5 years. So the size is consistent, but in terms of duration, it's very limited. As we indicated, we had an impact on the valuation reserve due to the movements in mark-to-market for a net impact of 2.4 million, which has become a bit higher due to the recent sharp movement in interest rates, reaching a maximum amount, a net maximum amount of 6.3 million. So we have an additional negative delta of around 4 million due to the sharp market movements. As we said, we're not too concerned about that, considering the limited duration of the portfolio. In terms of our sensitivity to the BTP bond spread, I have to say that we carry these positions on an unhedged basis, so we are exposed to both interest rates as well as BTP bond portfolio, which explains the impact not only at the end of 2021, but also in the recent weeks.
Yeah, let me only add one point. With the interest rate going up, we can buy shorter term duration bond, maintaining the same level of carry. Because if 1 year ago, in order to have some carry, you have to take 3 year exposure. Now you can have, with half of the duration, the same level of carry. And as Ilaria said, as our portfolio duration is already short, we will continue to replace position to shorter dated bond in order to maintain the nice carry that we have also in the past.
And you do not expect your margins on factoring CQ or bond business to be impacted by the increase in interest rates?
On the factoring side, you have to consider that the average duration of our portfolio is 11 months. so on what we purchase. Clearly, there are some tail with longer dated asset, but the average duration remains within a year. That means that we are able to transfer the increased cost of funding to the client if interest rates will go up, because we replace the portfolio. So after 1 year, on average, the portfolio has completely replaced, and so we are able to reprice.
The next question is from Luigi Tramontana of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. The first question is on the evolution of your cost base. You are investing a lot. Of course, you are prioritizing growth in volumes. My question is whether it's possible to see a reversal in the evolution of your efficiency ratio. When I look at the cost-income ratio, it was around 46%. In 2017-18, it has increased steadily over the last few years to 58% this year. And in parallel, the net profit has gone down from 27 to 23 million euros. So do you think to take any action to decrease the inflation, the cost inflation, starting from 2022? And do you still expect to reach a 49% cost-income ratio in 2023, as indicated in your business plan? The second question is on the margin evolution in CQ. It's positive for sure that you are generating more volumes in CQ from your own distribution. If I remember well, the margins there are much higher. However, you are also selling these portfolios. So do we have to expect the margins in CQ to remain stable, as we have seen in 2021, with no improvement going on? And the final question is on a missing point, which is dividend. Mr. Garbi, do we have to stick to your indication of a 25% payout ratio, or is there anything different? Many thanks.
Okay, thank you for the question. I will start with the last one, because it's also part of the press release. As has been mentioned in the press release, all the core tier one, so the capital requirement ratio, has been already netted by the 25% profit allocated to dividend. So this means that we imply that the board will stick to his to the view of continuing to distribute the 25% profit as dividend. In terms of, I will leave then a more detailed answer to Ilaria, but on the first question on the increase of cost, the two main drivers of the increase of the cost are connected to the pawnbroking business and to the increased number of headcount that we have taken with the acquisition of the Intesa San Paolo. And the second other driver connected to the cost is related to the legal fee from the collection, which is from a technical standpoint is an operational cost, even though is deeply connected to the LPI that we are able to collect legally, but also extra jurisdictionally at the same time. Then maybe Ilaria can come comment more. So, but as more the pawnbroking business will increase its activity, the cost income will decline. In terms of CQ, correct, we are buying receivable and the same, we are buying the originating, not buying, sorry, we are originating loan as well as buying loan. and a part of those loans are sold to the market in order to generate this profit, which allow us to self-finance the growth of the network. So the growth of the network, which is a cost of agent of technology as well, is financed by disposal. At the end, the margin on the CQ is we expect to remain stable for the following year. Maybe there can be some positive upside because we are considering also to pass back to client the cost coming from the Lexitor situation, whereby we already embedded in our account how much is the cost of Lexitor, and that means that this additional cost has to be transferred back to the client. But maybe Ilaria can comment more in depth on this first two points.
Yeah, sure. Regarding cost, Gianluca has just re-summarized the main drivers related to the cost increase. So really, we, on top of absorbing more costs related to the pawnbroking business unit, as Gianluca highlighted, we have also invested in the business, and we want to continue to invest in the business. The reduction that we have registered in the net profit over the past 2 years was not driven by a massive increase in cost, but mainly to a reduction in the top line, which itself was not caused by a reduction in volumes generated, as you know, the origination has always been solid and robust, but mainly to a reduction in margins. So really, we need to still invest in the business in order to support volumes growth, and we believe we will be able to offset the slight reduction in margins or stabilization in margins with more volumes originations without increasing further the cost base. So at the end of that, we might expect to see a slight improvement in the cost income margin, but a real improvement in the margins will only take place when in cost income margin will only take place when income margins will revert back to higher levels.
Let me only add one point on that respect. During 2021, due to the lack of clarity from regulator about the application of the new definition of default, where some of the interpretation did come to us on the last part of the year, we have also been very prudent on the asset, and we have, for instance, we have decided not to buy some asset with that may have caused some issue on past due, because the cost opportunity was not there. Now that at least there is a bit more clarity, we know what type of contract we can offer, so we can also buy going forward asset that will carry more duration, which is for us important. Because if we buy, if we generate turnover, but the duration we buy is shorter because we don't want to run this cost opportunity risk, means that we have to be very prudent on the asset we buy. In particular, when we look at the utility company, we decided not to buy asset with the longer duration in this situation of uncertainty because of the risk that if you have to apply an RWA of under 50%, there was no point of getting a proper return. Now that the situation is at least more clear than in the past, we will be able to continue to buy asset with longer duration, which means higher margin for us, in particular because those assets will carry more LPIs. Okay, if there's no any other question, I would like to thank everybody for your attendance, and we will have the time to talk again at the next conference call. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.